And so what you see here, this is not a Transformer. That's not Megatron. to my left, it is a Sephardic Torah scroll, which comes from the Spanish Jewish tradition. If you've never seen a Torah scroll, it has the first five books of the Bible, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy. The one to the right of me is a Yemenite Torah scroll. That one is actually 300 years old. The Sephardic one is 50 years old from Jerusalem, actually. The one that's the Yemenite one is actually 300 years old. It came out of Yemen before the Jewish people were kicked out of Yemen. There's actually only one Jewish person left in Yemen, which is insane when you think about the persecution of the Jewish people. This Torah scroll to my right is written on deer skin. The one to the left is written on calf skin. This morning I said it, someone thought I said cat skin. It's not cat skin, it's calf skin. All right. I have a Hispanic, Jewish, Puerto Rican, Brooklyn, Pennsylvania accent, if you've never heard it before. I've got a hybrid. My son blows the shofar, so that's his shofar scroll up there. And I'd love to just share with you the scrolls after services. It'll be about 15, 20 minutes. And you can come up, take pictures, ask questions. You can see some really cool sections in the Torah scroll. Who saw it already? Did anyone here see it so far this morning? Okay, great. So it's going to be available. You saw it. Did you like it? All right, cool. So you can come hang out after services, and we'll get right into it. I just want to share with you a couple of verses. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. And so when we think about Jesus being the Messiah, how do we know that he's the Messiah? We know he's the Messiah because he lines up with the prophets that line up with Moses as what is found inside of these scrolls. Amen. And so that's the key for us, focusing on the scripture and elevating the Lord through it all. Okay. Well, let's get into I want to share this one part. These scrolls are actually going to be used in a messianic congregation that my family and I are planting inside of New York City. It's going to be planted inside of Manhattan with the goal of bringing the gospel to the Jewish people and the nations. So we're actually going to be using these in services. Many have asked, is it like a decoration or do you actually use it? No, we actually use it. And what's so cool is that it worked out, I believe, from the Lord that we were able, the first place we brought this to was NC Church. So the one to my left, we got this a week and a half ago, and we wanted to bring it to NC Church to share and celebrate with you. The name of the congregation is going to be called Upper Room NYC, and you can visit us online at upperroom.nyc and learn more about what we're doing. So to get into the message, did anyone realize when the lights came on, your eyes had to adjust a little bit? You ever notice you go from a dark place to a bright place and your eyes take a moment? It's the perfect time for a sucker punch, right? Or going from light to dark, it takes a moment. Your eyes can't really catch what's happening there. See, sometimes we need time to adjust to what we're seeing. We need time for our eyes to be able to be adapted to the reality of what's happening in front of us. There's always this theme of gradual clarity. Some of us would want immediate clarity, right? Who wants the immediate clarity? I want to know. One of the things my wife always says, she goes, I don't care what we got to do. I just want to know what we got to do. I want to know the way, right? But sometimes when we look at things, we perceive things, it takes a moment to get in focus. If we can put up that first image. Who's seen this before? Oh, that was great. Okay. Who's seen this before? The old woman, the young woman. This illusion, this is a fancier one, but it's the illusion. Is it a young woman? Is it an old woman? Some of you probably see both, right? Who sees the young woman? Who sees the old woman? See, if you focus a little bit on the tip of the nose of the older woman, you might start to see the younger woman. If you focus on what is like the ear and the earring, and you think about the chin on the bottom, you might begin to see the older woman. See, the reality is that where we focus, where we see, it's not always clear immediately. We need time to perhaps look at something a little different, squint a bit, maybe do a handstand upside down and look at something in a different angle, and then things will ultimately become clear. And this optical illusion embodies sometimes what it is to be a Christian, to be a believer in the Messiah. That you may see one part of the story, one part of the dimension that it's becoming a little bit clearer, but who knows that sometimes it takes time for things to get clearer. This is my testimony. Many of you may have come to the Lord and had this radical, immediate transformation with the Lord, and that's beautiful. But for some people, things are more gradual. Things don't always happen immediately. Who can resonate with me that things don't always happen immediately? That sometimes there's a waiting season. Sometimes you can't see the things the way that they should really be. Sometimes you need to be in that waiting moment till the clarity ultimately comes. And the end of this sermon, what we're supposed to take away from is that it's okay to be in the waiting. It's okay to be in the transition when things aren't clear. It's okay if you still see the older woman and don't see the younger woman, and vice versa. If you spend enough time here and wait, you'll begin to see the opposite of what you saw before, and then your vision will be ultimately clear. If you got your Bibles, let's go to Mark 8, 22 to 26. And I want to read this section that I believe truly embodies what it means to be in the waiting, in the transition. What it means that when I don't see fully clear and yet to wait, and what and the benefits and the blessing and how the Lord desires that we would wait ultimately for the full restoration that God would have for his people. And they came to Bethsaida, Jesus and his disciples, and some people brought a man who was blind to Jesus. So the guy's blind. And the people who brought the blind man begged him to touch him. Taking the man who was blind by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting in his eyes, laid his hands on him. So don't try, this is not a how-to, right? Yeah, we don't want NC Church spitting on blind people outside, all right? Don't do that. But look at what happens here. He lays his hands on him, and he asks him, "Do you see anything?" Now, if I was writing the story, I would have said, he's immediately healed, everything is great, he walks away praising God, and everything's all good for this person born blind. He's been struggling enough, right? Born blind. So it'd be a great moment to have that immediate lightning bolt restoration. This would be great to display the power of God. He's in front of the Messiah. You need immediate healing right now. Look at what this person is going through. But this isn't how it happens. The guy who was born blind, he looks up and he says, "I see people, for I see them like trees walking around." So hold on for a second. You're trying to tell me that the Messiah started a healing for this person born blind? And he did not immediately get the healing that he was seeking for? Did he not believe enough? Of course he believed. He had a whole crew of people behind him that believed that the Messiah could do it, but it doesn't happen immediately. He doesn't immediately see the thing that he came to see, but instead the people are still a little blurry. Brothers and sisters, you might be in a season where the people look like trees and things are a little blurry. You might be in a season where you're waiting for the healing of God, for the change to come off in a certain moment in your life. You may be waiting for a spiritual breakthrough. You may be in transition. And I've come to exhort you in the name of the Lord Jesus to continue waiting. Because the rest of the story is going to tell us the reward for those who continue to trust in the Lord. He once again, the Messiah, the Christ, lays his hands on his eyes. And he looked intently, and then he was restored. Belief, transition, restoration. This is the walk for the believer, brothers and sisters. And I believe that so many believers get lost in the moment where it's still blurry. Who's in a blurry moment? Who's in a moment where they don't know where to go? They're trying to make some decisions, but they don't know the path. Things don't always feel like the way that it should be. Whether it's the bank account or the car breaking out or them running out of pumpkin at Dunkin'. Don't you hate that? Right? And the things that just afflict us, a messenger of Satan. when things don't work out, how difficult it gets, that we need a healing, we need to move from God. We're asking God, we believe in God. We've been struggling with this thing for 2, 10, 8 decades, however long it's been. And we're waiting for the healing, but we've just got a little bit. Is the Messiah not able to fulfill the thing? Yes, he's absolutely able to, but we must hold on. I wonder how many who have professed the Lord Jesus didn't hold on in the moment of transition, the moment of difficulty, the moment where things aren't so clear. How many walked away saying, what if? Imagine this. The person born blind said, it didn't work. It only worked a little bit. I want my money back. I'm going to take this package back to Staples and send it back to Amazon. I'm going to return this thing that I came and was looking for. But no, he waited. He stood there for that moment, and then he was able to see clearly. The whole context around Mark chapter 8 is the disciples of Jesus learning more about Jesus. And they're going to go on. We're going to go over to Mark 8, 27 to 30, the verses right after this. And look at the transition for the disciples. Their faith is becoming stronger. The disciples didn't believe immediately and was willing to do anything for him. They struggle. They wrestle. Who struggles and wrestles in this life? Who has a difficulty with believing and waiting for the restoration of God? Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. It's coming. We've already received the first deposit. We have the Spirit of God. He's done so many things for us that we can't even begin to count that we don't know about. And so many things we do know about, he's going to bring it to culmination. We are just in transition. We need to hold on. And in Mark chapter 8, Jesus goes out with his disciples. They go to the village of Caesarea, which I snuck into while I was in Israel 2 weeks ago. If you want to hear that story, come down. I can't say it online. You know, they're going to come looking for me. But check this out. On the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do people say that I am? They told him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others say you're one of the prophets. But he continued questioning them. But who do you say that I am? The Lord, in this moment of your transition, in the moment of your difficulty, in the moment of your pain, in the moment of waiting for your healing, the Messiah is still asking, who do you say that I am? Do you still believe? Do you still hold on? Do you still profess? Do you still believe that he will come through even though you didn't get the healing that you were waiting for? Even though you didn't get the breakthrough immediately that you wanted? Even though the relationship you were looking to be restored were not immediately restored? Do we still trust him? Peter saw some miracles. In Mark 6, they saw him feed the 5,000. In Mark 6, 45, he walked on water. He goes on in Mark 7 to heal the deaf and the mute man in a row, all of these miracles chronologically. The power of God being displayed before him, and now he gets a moment to profess. But who knows, Peter's ultimately going to deny the Messiah. This is the life of the believer, brothers and sisters. We go through these very difficult times where life is real. When the music stops, when the worship song's not going on, and it's Sunday night at 2 in the morning, and the doubt comes in, God, are you going to come through? God, are you going to be there? When the music's low, it's not on, everyone's asleep, and you're alone, and you're saying, God, where are you? He never left you. He remains, and he's working the work that he needs to do while you are in your transition. While you are in the space waiting for your healing, God is still for you. God still stands beside you. One of my favorite verses is that the Lord is attentive to the cry of his people. Brothers and sisters, when we cry out to him, he is there for us. We may not see the immediate. We may not get zapped with the healing. The financial situation may not immediately get erased and fixed. The emotional pain and scars of things we've done and things done to us may not dissipate and just automatically fade away. It could happen, but if it does not, we still trust. We still trust when we look down the corridors of our existence and things may still be blurry and we haven't received the healing, we haven't received the restoration, that the chains still enslave us, but God, we trust because you've done so many deliverances before. You've brought us through so many miracles. Amen. The promise isn't that we're going to see clearly now, but ultimately we will. Ultimately, every pain, every anguish, every hurt, every disappointment, every offense, every wrong will be reconciled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. There'll be no crying. There'll be no weeping, no gnashing of teeth. We will be restored, brothers and sisters. And the promise is that if he doesn't do it in this life, he will do it in the life to come, and we still trust him. And I still believe he's healing now. I still believe he's restoring marriages now. I believe he's restoring relationships, and he's restoring brokenness, and he's allowing us to be more stable in life. He's doing that, but maybe it doesn't happen immediately. We still trust him, even though things look a little blurry, and we can't get it in focus just right. Anyone deal with cameras, take pictures, videos, anything like that. Even your phone, you can think about it. Sometimes you take a picture, it's out of focus, and you got to adjust it. Sometimes this is the life of the believer. You don't deny the thing that the camera's pointing at. You just, it's a problem what you're seeing through the display. It's not focusing yet, but you still trust the thing that's there behind it. Brothers and sisters, our life often like this as believers. 1 Corinthians 13:12 echoes this. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Oh, I long for the day where we will see the Lord as he is. There are many things that may seem confusing. Anyone ever have a confusing moment? No? Just me? Cool. It's all right. Y'all can make fun of me later. Anyone have a difficult moment as a believer? A disappointment? We could keep it real, right? That moment where you say, God, look at all the stuff I'm doing. I go to church. I sing the songs. I serve. And this happened? I'm not healed. I got the same affliction for the past 20 years. I've come to exhort you in the name of the Messiah and by his love that he loves you, he sees you, and ultimately he will bring the healing and restoration, whether in this life or in the life to come. Going on, 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul says, I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. See, I think of pop Christianity. We expect to put our salvation, our experience, our life in the microwave, put it on for 45 seconds, and then out comes a nice popping hot, sanctified, holy life. This is what we expect because we're used to that. Uber Eats. Listen, if I don't get my packages in 2 days, Amazon's going to hear about it, all right? I'm calling everybody. Lord, rain fire on us. We live in a world where we want the immediate. And we're all susceptible to that because this is the world we live in. If I need a Bible verse, I can Google it. If I need to order something, I can get it. My wife can order something at 9 in the morning, it's there by 2 p.m. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But salvation for our people has never been like that. And I say our people because if you believe in the Messiah, then Abraham's your father. Grafted in to the people of God. That our fathers never got an immediate deliverance. It never happened in the Bible, an immediate deliverance from our enemies. We never received an immediate restoration or reconciliation. It was always in stages. Think about this. The Exodus from Egypt, was it immediate or in stages? Of course, it was in stages. You have the plagues. The children of Israel get taken out of Egypt. Then they spend how many years in the wilderness? 40. Going around the same mountain, dealing with difficulties and struggles so there could be a purification in the wilderness. I believe that God brings a purification, a wholeness, a healing, a restoration, a strength, even in the moments of uncertainty and a lack of full clarity of what we're going through. In the moment, listen, the children of Israel had to hold on to the promise that they're going to enter the promised land. Although it may not have felt like that. David, the father of the Messiah, was anointed as king as a youth, a boy. 15 years old. Imagine your 15-year-old comes to you. I'm going to be king of Israel. But he endured many years of persecution, many years of hurt, many years of pain, many years of King Saul trying to kill him before he actually ever sat on the throne. There's never a model of immediate restoration, immediate filling. It often happens in parts and stages. These stories remind us that God often works through a process. We want the immediate. We want the microwave reconciliation. We want the microwave wholeness. But it is always through a process. And the person born blind had to hold on to the process in the midst of still not receiving the healing immediately. He needed to hold on. Brothers and sisters, I'm encouraging you to hold on. Although you may not be getting the thing that you're waiting for, the thing that God promised you, or the healing that God's trying to give you, or the thing that you are looking for, the reconciliation of a relationship, hold on, because our God will come through. When it's still blurry for a bit and you can't see clearly and you're still partially blind, but you see a little bit, you don't have the wholeness, hold on. Because our God will bring it to culmination. Philippians 1:6 echoes this beautifully. So Paul's words. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Messiah Yeshua." The thing the Lord started with you, the thing the Lord called you to, the salvation that he called you to, it may seem difficult in the moments, in the times, in the stages as we go through life, seeking to be believers, seeking to be honoring to the Lord. There may be times with difficulty with children and spouses and families and jobs and financial issues, and the things may get difficult, but the thing that the Messiah started, he will bring it to culmination. He will bring a peace and a shalom to you, even though it may not be in this life, but it will be in the life to come. Who's waiting for that day? And I'm just encouraging you, brothers and sisters, in the short time that I've been on this earth, I've seen the Lord come through for me many times. And I'm sure that there are many more times that I don't even know about where he spared my life. And in this room, we probably could not even count the amount of things that the Messiah has done for us that we don't even know about. You know, at the end of one of the Gospels, it says something really beautiful. It says, had all the things Jesus done in the time of his ministry been recorded, the world could not contain the books. Imagine the decades and decades that are added up here where God has moved in our lives. It could not be contained, the things that he's done so far, so we can trust him today and we could trust him to the future that he will bring it to culmination. So I believe for God's people to fulfill their destiny, it isn't just about the song that we sing when we make the profession of faith at first. It's not just about saying yes, receiving the Holy Spirit and getting saved. That's one thing. But we are not just called to be saved. We're called to be world changers for the kingdom of God. We are called to bring the kingdom of God to people by the Spirit of God who lives inside of us, to raise up godly offspring and to preach a transformation to the world. We have the antidote for the ails of humanity, brothers and sisters, which is the gospel message of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And we are called to bring these to people. When this is the beautiful thing I love. I think about this imagery. The Lord knit us together in our mother's womb. And I believe that when he knit us together, he had a destiny for us to proclaim the praises of him who called us brothers and sisters. But the moments that get difficult, when the flesh gets in the way, when the enemy gets in the way, when life gets in the way, that is an attempt for you. That's an opportunity that you could be distracted. That's an opportunity where your train to proclaim the praises of God can get off the rail. But we need to hold on whether the body desires not to. When our mind reasons that God's not going to come through, we have to know that the Lord will come through. Even Jesus the Messiah, our great high priest, and the sacrifice for us who gave himself so we can be reconciled to God, he too in his humanity struggled with the thing by which he came to do, which was to die for humanity. Luke 22:39 says he came and went as he normally did to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you don't come into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me." What a phrase. What a phrase. Fully God, fully man, but in his humanity, he wrestled with the difficulty of the thing that he was about to do, which was to bear the sins of humanity. The cross he was going to go to, but here's the key, here's the secret, here's the success. He goes on to say, "Not my will, but yours be done." I know what's coming down the pipe. I know what I'm going to face is going to be difficult. I know it's not going to be easy. I know I'm still struggling in my life with my body, afflictions, hurts, pains, anguish. I know that life is very difficult, but not my will, your will. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to go through. And I know that in the midst of the blurriness, when I really can't see clearly, when I'm in the moment of transition, I'm going to focus on you. I often get this picture in my mind about the problems that we face. And whether it's financial. And I'm not saying that they're not real. They're real. Financial, family problems, job problems, career. Maybe you have schooling, then you have children. And the thing is, we're always like, oh, financial, I got to pay attention. I got to pay attention. Okay, pay attention. But the reality is we often look up at Jesus, then we're back at the problem. Up at Jesus, up at the problem, dealing with it. The Messiah, what he did was he looked back up to the Father and said, your will, not my will. See, I think as believers, as we go through transition, we're waiting for healing, we're waiting for breakthrough. We often focus on the thing we want the breakthrough from, and we're not focused on the one who brings the breakthrough. Let's take our eyes off of the issues and focus on the Messiah and say, Lord, bring a thing to this. Show me how to move. Show me how to deal with it. But I'm going to keep my eyes on you because it's your will, it's your way, it's your path, it's your timing, and you know what's best for me. Amen. And he goes forward. Think about the intensity that the Messiah was going through. It goes on to say that he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Can you imagine such a scene? The creator of the universe, the one who formed all things, is in anguish because of the very thing he's about to endure, which is his mission to bring humanity, salvation to humanity. If you struggle, you're in good company because you're in the company of the Lord Jesus. But let us, in our struggles, in our difficulty, in our transition, as we approach the thing that the Lord called us to do, always keep our eyes on him. See, because the obedience of the Messiah brought salvation to the world. That's why we're here, because the Messiah was obedient. How many people hang in the balance for our obedience, for our willingness to submit to the Lord? It's much bigger than just our own little salvation, which is a miracle in and of itself. But we are called to bring this water, this Spirit of God, this truth to the whole entire world. Everywhere you go, your job, your school, your neighborhoods, even in your churches, when people are downcast and hurting, you can refresh them. When you travel the world and you're on vacation, you carry with yourself the reality of the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, because of the mercies of God. And this is what we're called to do. And my fear, and what I believe the Lord is showing us, is that sometimes in the blurry, in the time of transition, in the time of difficulty, in the time of waiting, we can so lose focus of our mission and the will of God that we never fulfill it. We're not talking about salvation, losing sight. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doing the thing in this world that the Lord called us to do, which is to bring many people to the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's look at this passage also. See, because this Garden of Gethsemane, this Mount of Olives area, has a lot of links to it. It's where Yeshua, Jesus, rode into a donkey and the people cried out, Hosanna. It's where he taught about his return, and in Matthew 24, he teaches about the end of the age. And most gloriously, after the resurrection, it was the place where he ascended into heaven as described in Acts 1, 9 to 12. So hold on for a second. The place and space of my greatest difficulty and anguish can represent my greatest victory in the Messiah? Oh, how easy it is if everything will line up for us and be great. How easy it is to praise the Lord when we catch all the green lights. But man, if you get a red light, forget about it. When all things work out, how easy it is to sing praises to the Lord. But when things don't work out, how difficult it is, brothers and sisters. See, in that moment of the difficulty, in the moment of the blurry, in the moment of transition, this is the moment where we can press in and lean in on the Lord. Amen. You guys with me? As I begin to wrap up, in Isaiah 42, I want to give you the backdrop for this section of scripture if you want to turn to it. It's a very prophetic passage where God speaks about his chosen servant. And this chosen servant is not just anyone, but he's one who's going to bring justice, open blind eyes, and he's going to lead the lost. And verse 16 is part of that promise that God gives to guide and transform those walking in darkness. I believe that we can stand on the promises of God. not a name it and claim it, but if God says that he will do something for his people, we can trust the Lord on this thing and stay in this thing and join in unity with God's promise. Who believes that? Let me read it to you. It says, I will lead those who are blind by a way they do not know. In the past they do not know, I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them. An uneven land into plains. You know how hard it is to walk over uneven land? These are the things I will do. I will not leave them undone. Isaiah 42:16. I want you to be bold, brothers and sisters. In this moment, this Sunday, when we're gathered here on the Lord's Day, I want you to be bold before the Lord. We all have struggles. We all have difficulties. Amen. But I want you to raise your hand if you are in a season of uncertainty. You could be bold because if you're in a season, the person next to you probably is in a season as well. We can be clear before the Lord. We can be open before him. He sees our hearts. Maybe you're in a season where you're waiting for a healing and the healing hasn't come. If that's you, you can raise your hand also. Maybe you're in a season where you're waiting for the restoration of a family relationship and it hasn't come. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a family situation, a ministry pursuit, a business. And you're trusting God, and maybe you've seen a few breakthroughs, but it's still blurry. It's not clear. You didn't receive the fullness. Maybe you're a person who struggled with a thing for 10, 20 years, 30 years, and have never gotten the victory yet. I want us to stand on these promises, all of us together. That although we go through these difficulties and struggles in these seasons, that God is going to bring a restoration. This is his promise. And we can stand on these promises from Isaiah 42, and we can trust the Lord, and we're going to pray for a strengthening from God in the season of the transition, in the season of uncertainty, that we would be like the guy born blind. That although we've gotten a touch of the healing, we've gotten a bit, and there's still more to go, and we didn't get the fullness of what God had promised just yet, but we know it's coming because he began it, and he's going to finish it. If you want to pray this way, I want you to raise your hands with me unto the Lord. There is a purpose in the blurry moments, brothers and sisters. It is to strengthen us. It's a time for forming depth in us. To walk more closely with our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we come before you, myself included, asking you for a fresh touch from heaven even today, Lord. As the difficulties of this life have often beat us down and we've gone through difficulties and we're anticipating full freedom, Lord, it doesn't always come in the time that we want, Father, but we're standing on your promise that it will come. That you went away, you truly did, and you prepared a place for us. And indeed, if you do that, you will come back and gather us back to you, Lord. And we're just trusting you, Lord. We're trusting you, Lord, in the midst of the difficulty, the midst of the pain, the midst of all of the disappointments of the life. We are focused on you. We don't want to walk away. We don't want to be discouraged. Abba, let the opportunities, the difficulties be opportunities of praise to you. Because you are so good. You are so holy. You've done so much for us, and we're just longing and looking forward to what you will ultimately do. And in the time of uncertainty, the time of difficulty, the time of lacking certain clarities, Father, we're standing on your promises, and we're believing you. We're going to endure, oh God. And we just thank you, Abba, for all the things that you've done so far, for the way you moved in our lives, for our generations, for our children, how you've come through so many different ways, Lord. Strengthen our hearts when we are discouraged, when we are feeling weak, and we are feeling that you are taking too long. Give us the patience of the Messiah. Give us the patience of our King. And Lord, may we magnify you, Lord, with everything that we do. May we take this word in our hearts. And whatever difficulty we face, may we always trust in you as things become clearer and clearer and clearer. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And God's people said, amen and amen. NC Church, thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Our God is on the throne, amen. And he's moving on behalf of his people, amen. And he will make himself known to you. We're so happy that you came out to worship with us. I'm going to be here for about 20 minutes. If you want to come up and see the Torah scroll, love to meet you. Shake your hand. NC Church, we love you. And we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Be blessed.